Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
So, as human beings who live in this world, we know the struggles of life in this world are real, don't we? Yeah, we do know that. For some of us, getting out of bed in the morning is a challenge. It's a struggle. It can be a physical struggle, or it can be a mental and an emotional struggle. So when we say this is hard to do, we mean it literally and figuratively. And for others, trying to sit still and stop moving around, get into bed, relax, rest, and go to sleep is a struggle. Yeah? Physically? Anybody here struggle from that? There goes my husband's hand. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very hard to do that, to sit still. Some of us can tend to identify with one more than the other. For those who are trying to accomplish something that is, in all honesty, physically impossible, the struggle is real. And we can identify with that. For those of us who are emotionally unable to accomplish anything at all, the struggle is real. And while these struggles are very real, that's not the struggles that our gospel is talking about today. The gospel is talking about Jesus. And it's not really even the struggles that Jesus is going through. What our gospel teaches us today is the type of king that we have in Jesus. I don't know if you sort of noticed that in the children's sermon. And I talked about the fact that Jesus had just been baptized, that the heavens had opened, that Jesus heard God's voice say, "You are my beloved son," that the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus in the form of a dove. And then right away, what does the Spirit decide to do? Send Jesus off into the wilderness, where for 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus fasts. And we don't know what happened during those 40 days and 40 nights. But what we do know is at the end of that time, the tempter comes. Now, the tempter knows exactly who Jesus is. That Greek translation of the "if" is correct. But because of the sentence structure, it's really "since you are the Son of God." So the tempter knows exactly who Jesus is, the Son of God. And Jesus knows exactly who the tempter is. "Since you are the Son of God," what is the first thing that the tempter, we could call that figure the devil, wants Jesus to do? He wants Jesus to use his power to feed himself, to turn these stones into bread. Well, Jesus refuses to do that. Now, it's not that Jesus refuses to ever feed people, because we certainly know from the story of the fishes and the loaves and the miracle of, is it 5 loaves, 2 fishes? That, you know, thousands, tens of thousands are fed. But Jesus is not going to do that for himself. So we have a king, we have a God, we have a Lord who doesn't use God's power for himself. The second temptation, right? The kids, boy, they really knew it. The temple, the building, right? What does Jesus say? No, Jesus will not use God's power to show he is God. That's don't put the Lord to the test. No, he's not going to use his power to show that he is God. He is God. And the third one is Jesus will not use God's power to make people bow down to him, as the other kings in the world will do. And that is the last temptation at the mountain, where the devil says to him, "I will give you all these kingdoms if you bow down to me." No. Jesus, the Word made flesh, the human, is being tempted. And the struggles, these temptations for Jesus, they are very real. You know, evil, temptations, the devil, they are real. And the struggle against these powers are very real for us today. But evil and tempters and the devil, let's face it, it's not so easy for us to see. It's not so easy to spot at times, oh, there goes the evil one. Doesn't have a face all the time. We can't point it out and say that. And we want that, don't we? When we go to the movies, we want a villain. We want to know who the bad guy is. We want to know who the evil one is, because that helps us know who it is that we should be against, who it is that we should avoid. And we really want to make that person, that tempter, the evil one, visible, so we're aware of it. And when we don't have an evil or a devil or a tempter, what do? We put a name and a face to it, and we try to identify it ourselves so that when we see it, we'll know it. Now, depending on where you're coming from, the devil may be, or evil may be, defined as a refugee from Syria. Evil, the tempter, the devil, may be a person of color wearing a hoodie in your neighborhood. The evil, the tempter, may be an older white male in political office. That's what we're told, aren't we? We need to put a name and a face to evil. But I'm going to tell you something. It's not that easy. The tempter and the devil cannot be easily defined in such a way. It goes significantly deeper than that. C.S. Lewis wrote a wonderful novel. I don't know if anybody here has ever read it. It's called The Screwtape Letters. And there are three characters in these letters. The first one is Wormwood. Wormwood. Wormwood is a junior tempter in training, okay? And his mentor is his uncle, whose name is Screwtape. And the subject that the young tempter in training is working on is an ordinary human being known as the patient. So the Screwtape letters is basically Uncle Screwtape writing letters to his nephew in training to help him in messing up this human's mind. The goal here is to keep the patient focused on himself. You ever hear that staring down at your navel, right? Focus inward, focus on the self, get so self-absorbed so that he doesn't know who he is. So, what does he let him do? What does Wormwood let him do? He lets him pray, but then he encourages him to pray about tangible things, direct prayer to objects versus to God. He keeps him spiritual, but not practical, not going out and practicing what it is that he believes. He makes him oversensitive to everything, instilling doubt. And so all of a sudden, I mean, it's to the point where he is lashing out at his own mother. His prayers are for courage. And while he's praying for courage, he actually will introduce some conflict into the prayer, so that all of a sudden his prayer turns into making himself boastful. Wormwood and Screwtape are not trying here to create a ruthless killer or an army of killers. What these two are doing here is they want to create a generation who are defined in selfishness and insecurity, pettiness and pride, fear, the need to control the things of this world. Sounds pretty different than what we would normally say is evil and the devil. And that struggle for the patient is very real. And you know something? That struggle for us is very real. There is evil in the temptations. There is the face of the devil. But you and I, we are baptized children of God. And this face of evil, these temptations, they present themselves to us every single day. Temptation wins when we give in. When we allow our temper to control our conversations, when we have a need to excessively control a particular situation, when we allow our jokes that may appear to be non-hurtful to anyone, but are indeed hurtful to some, when we allow them to go unchallenged, temptation wins. When we allow our fear to keep us silent. The struggle is real. And at the same time, baptism is real. You and I, we are called, claimed, and sealed by the Holy Spirit, marked with the cross of Christ forever. We are baptized children of God. And as baptized, beloved children of God, the first thing we need to know is that we are rooted in Christ. We are rooted in the one who lived the struggles that we live. We are rooted in the one who came to us, for us. We are rooted in the one who went to the cross, where he was again tempted to come down off that cross. If you are the Son of God, save yourself. What a temptation is that? Yet that's not who our God is. Our God is the one who went all the way, who died, closed the gates of hell so that our death, our earthly death, is not final. We are rooted in the one who rose so that we too will rise and we too will have eternal life. And when you think about it, if when we die we will have eternal life, doesn't eternal life start right now? Because there is no death. The struggle is indeed real, just as real as God's promises given to us through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, into whose death you and I together, we are baptized. Amen.